This past April 15th, nearly 27,000 people ran in the Boston Marathon. The winner was an elite Ethiopian runner in just his second marathon ever. He beat the second-place runner by 5 seconds. The third-place winner was just 1 second behind him. But few remember the electric three-way sprint for victory. That's because of the two homemade bombs that went off as recreational runners loped exhausted across the finish line. Alex Ashlock of member station WBUR covered the marathon in April, as he has for the past 13 years. He remembers when that tragic Monday this spring was just another thrilling, magical morning.
Every Boston Marathon offers possibility. There might be an incredibly fast time, I've seen them here, or a surprising winner. After all, a lot can happen over the course of that 26 miles. So it was possibility I was thinking about as I walked to the finish line. Mainly that Shalane Flanagan, a world-class runner from right here in Marblehead, Massachusetts, could become the first American to win the Boston Marathon in decades.
I was a little girl just north of here, like 10 miles north of the city, and dreamed of running this race, and it's finally here. And I couldn't be more excited. I have to contain it.
It really was a gorgeous day, and we waited in the sunshine for the winners to cross the finish line. For a world-class runner, it takes less than 2.5 hours to finish the marathon. The crowd cheered encouragement, ringing bells and waving flags as the winners crossed the finish line. I ran into Shalane Flanagan in the hotel lobby after she finished her race. She was disappointed a bit. She finished fourth.
I'm extremely happy that I fulfilled a lifelong goal of mine, but I dreamt of winning today. I dreamt of a laurel wreath on my head. And it didn't happen, but that's the reason why goals are big and they're hard.
Shalane Flanagan's race was over, but back outside the hotel, thousands of runners were finishing their own marathons. I waded into that crowd. It's something I do every year. It's like swimming in a sea of joy and sweat.
How was it out there?
Outstanding. Great weather from Florida, so we don't get to run in anything this cool. It was awesome. Great day.
What's your name?
Dave Masterson.
Where are you from in Florida?
Palm Beach, Florida.
What about you?
It was awesome. The support was amazing. Every city, it was a great day.
What's your name?
Kat. I'm Graham from Louisville, Kentucky.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I thought my day was over. I came back to the newsroom, but before I could even report on the results of the marathon, we started to hear the reports and see the pictures. There had been explosions near the finish line at the Boston Marathon. I rushed back downtown and stayed as runners, spectators, and officials, all of us, were trying to make sense of what had just happened. It wasn't until the next day that this really started to sink in. But all the runners I spoke with told me basically the same thing. Lonnie Fox was one of them. She had come from Canada to run her first Boston Marathon. She wasn't able to finish because of the bombs.
I will come back. This should not stop the world from living. Otherwise, we'll all be hiding in our houses. Right?
It's winter now in Boston, but the runners certainly aren't hiding in their houses. I can see them out on the marathon course nearly every day. They're starting their training programs for the next race. They're building up their muscles and their stamina to tackle Heartbreak Hill. I have been in love with the marathon as an event ever since Frank Shorter won the Olympics in Munich in West Germany back in 1972. They ran that race despite a deadly terrorist attack on Israeli athletes only a few days before. This April in Boston, thousands will run the marathon because of what happened here.
26.2 miles. Good job by everyone. Welcome back to Boston.
For NPR News, I'm Alex Ashlock in Boston.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.